Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Also available wherever fine podcasts are, including iTunes and soundcloud.com/Steven Larson. Stitcher Radio, Google Play, iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
All those wonderful places.
All those fantastic places.
We also have a Patreon where you can help support the show at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Larson, give me one Patreon reward tier.
$10.
Yes. What do you get for $10?
You get a postcard.
A signed postcard. I can get on that.
Dude. You get an opportunity to vote each week.
I gotta
for
send
the
out the
theme of Kayfabe Corner.
Gotta send out the December patrons need their shit. So I'm gonna get to
so
stack
we have,
of postcards.
We have to get signing some postcards.
Yeah,
huh?
Maybe during lunch today we'll sign
Sounds
some postcards
good.
So I can get them out this weekend. Of course, we're also on Pro Wrestling Tees, where you can find that shirt. I know that is New Japan's.
Yeah, it's not in our shop.
It's not our. Yeah, we don't have one of ours laying around. I was going to wear my Fuck Wrestling shirt, and then I saw this one. I was like, ooh, I like this Suplex Wrestling. This is a fine shirt if you guys want to get this, too. I don't know where to get it exactly. Look up Suplex Wrestling Apparel, I would assume. But we have our Going In Raw shirt, a Fun Wrestling logo shirt, a W Steve W logo shirt, Fuck Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have it all here on Going In Raw. Anyways, this is our NXT 205 Live recap show, Larson.
Correct.
So I suppose that means that I was so happy. I was so happy we were back in the Full Sail University Arena.
Yeah.
What do they call it exactly? They just say, we're back here at Full Sail University.
They call it the NXT Arena, don't they?
Do they call it the NXT Arena?
I thought so.
Do they?
I thought so.
I don't know, man.
I thought they did.
Whenever you say that, you always like get on your computer. Hold on. Must verify
well,
now.
Well, I mean, I want to be correct.
NXT Arena.
NXT Arena. Full Sail University.
Okay. Well, there you go. They. Well, I was glad they were back. I was glad, you know, even though I had spoiled myself for the looking at the taping results.
Yeah.
I like that setting. I don't like when we get a 2-hour house show from Australia that doesn't have any impact
on what's going on in the world of NXT.
I think
the setting is less important than the importance of the product being broadcast.
I know, but the thing is, the only important broadcasts ever come, the only that are non-takeovers, they only ever emanate from Full Sail Arena.
Well, I think they're trying to change that.
Well, he didn't.
I know.
Anyways, it opened up with, this cracked me up, because Asuka, I'm always a stickler for the details. Asuka, wearing her civilians, if you will, wearing like a business coat and jeans.
And some boots.
Looking like a game dev. And she had her title with her, I think? Or maybe it was just a suitcase.
I think she had a bag, yes. Yeah,
okay, she had a bag. She was outside near Full Sail Arena, and she got attacked by Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, who are in full wrestling gear.
I know.
And Billy Kay especially looks kind of goofy when she's not in the ring.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, she's got the singlet on. She kind of has, like, her posture isn't, like, perfectly straight. Like, she always looks like she's not very comfortable.
Well, she's got very long arms and legs, too.
Hey, she doesn't know what to do with herself. That's what it is. And then Peyton Royce has, like, the greenest green outfit.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of getting, there's like a bunch of guys.
Yeah,
like,
how come they weren't doing anything?
Performance center nerds just milling about
doing
nothing.
They were just sitting there like drinking some coffee or something.
And they just sort of watched this freaking literally a mugging go down. I mean, is a mugging when literally something's stolen from you?
I think so.
Is that the definition of a mugging?
I think so too.
So this was just literally an assault in broad daylight. They could literally be arrested.
Yeah.
And these guys are witnesses, and my favorite person, they like beat the crap out of Asuka. They slam her into a bus.
They pour some water on her.
Which I thought was going to be coffee at
first. Me too.
It was a coffee cup, and then she pours it out, and I'm like, kind of underwhelming at worst. You know, I know women are particular about their hair often.
Yeah.
I mean, as are men, as I am. I went outside. It was raining outside. Now my hair, I'm fiddling with it, as you can see. But then Asuka, you look, and Asuka has like a big wet stain on her, on like the bottom, like her thigh, like the underside of her thigh.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did the water get from one place to another, or did she just pee herself?
Well, it could be that, you know, they poured it over. There was probably a puddle of water on the ground.
Oh, okay.
And then in the process of either recuperating or getting up, she might have kind of positioned herself into puddle.
Okay, that could be. So anyways, then, yeah, so that happened. That kicked off the show. And then the guys who are milling about, you hear one of them say, somebody get a doctor.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you guys rush to her aid?
I know.
Like, go and check on her first. Don't just witness from afar and say, I think she needs a doctor. Probably
no,
not.
No, better
she
yet,
just needs
intervene. Break up that fight.
Break up the fight. Like, I know Billy Kay and Peyton Royce are combat professional sport people.
Yeah.
However, there's like four guys. Just by virtue of your mass, you're probably going to have a good chance at least to, like, you know, stop the fight, you know? I mean, I don't want to get kicked by Billy Kay. I don't want to get shoved into Billy Kay's knee by Peyton Royce or vice versa. However, if I see them laying the smackdown on somebody outside of a bus, I might do something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is me.
I had the same thought.
That kicked off the show. Then we had the debut of Crazy Mary Dobson, who's now going under the name Sarah Bridges.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got her shirt. Pro Wrestling Tees. I know nothing about Crazy Mary Dobson other than she has a really cool name, and then she had a really cool shirt.
Yeah.
And I got it. I haven't washed it yet. So hopefully I'll become a fan of Sarah Bridges, and I'll wear that shirt, and people think I'm like OG.
Yeah.
Anyways, they had a tag match with Billy Kay and
Peyton
Royce.
This wasn't much of a match.
No, it wasn't. Versus Macy Evans, who has a cool look about her.
Yeah.
And then Sarah Bridges is cool.
Why'd they change her name?
I don't know. Crazy Mary Dobson is a
great
name.
And Sarah Bridges is just so bland.
It's just normal. The crowd knew who she was. The crowd was behind her, though.
Mm-hmm.
Crowd was into her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you'd think that somebody, I mean, all I know is that I've heard her name before.
Yeah, I have too.
And so I think she has some sort of reputation behind her. Why are they giving her this debut? Why are they giving her this name?
I know. Well, I mean, probably a month or so ago, we were talking about how it seems like in NXT, they were transitioning away from the idea of having indie stars come to NXT and give them new names. Because it seems like everybody, like Roderick Strong, granted, most people they brought in were really well established.
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
Roderick Strong is a former Ring of Honor champion. So when they had Damo debut, they were calling him Damo, but apparently he's got a new name now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tommy End has a new name. Tommy End's a great name.
I know.
That is a great name. And they changed his name to Aleister Black?
Yep.
That's horrible. What a terrible name. Oh, that's the worst, man. I know. I don't get it. I don't know what the sort of line of demarcation is between.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Popular enough to keep your own name.
I wonder
or not.
If it's people that come in who have had a great deal of success, not just in the independent ranks, but you know, in a promotion like Ring of Honor.
Who come in
with a brand established and say, "No, I want to keep my name. I want to keep my brand intact."
You know, there could be an aspect of, I don't want to say intimidation, but it's like not everybody can play the role of negotiator too well. It's like you come in and they say, well, we got to change your name for these reasons. Not everybody's going to pipe up and say, no, I don't want to do that because you might think you're going to lose your spot.
Yeah.
Kind of like in a job interview. Sometimes, you don't want to ask how much you're getting paid because it feels like you're being greedy. Look, I'll tell this to everybody out there from experience. If you're going to a job interview, you don't know how much you're going to get paid. Ask. It's a business. You know, nobody's going to say, oh, I don't want to hire this person because they want to know how much compensation they're getting.
Yeah.
You know, money's money.
Definitely don't take a job until you know exactly how much you're getting paid.
Exactly.
If you don't ask at the interview, make sure you ask when they call and let you know they're offering you the job.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Do not accept the job until you know how much you're getting paid.
That is wise words of advice. Yeah. Let's see. So, yeah, Billy Kay and Peyton Norris made quick work of Macy Evans and Sarah Bridges. Then they delivered a promo
about how they run the women's division NXT.
Yeah, and that Asuka's belt belongs to them. And then they did like some awkward movements around their tummy areas, indicating like they didn't do this. They did this, which looked more like how long are you? How far along are you? It looked like the pregnancy thing. But I don't know. They want to co-own the belt.
Seems that way.
Seems like, or have they taken inspiration from Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, perhaps?
I think that's it. But then Asuka comes out.
Oh,
tries
yeah.
to exact some revenge.
Head full of steam Asuka had.
And Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, kicking her.
Yeah.
Beating her up a little bit. Out comes Nikki Cross,
yes.
Seems to make the save. And she dispatches of Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. And then she's on the second turnbuckle, turned around, and drop kicks Asuka.
Yeah. I love Nikki Cross.
Yeah, she's
I think
good.
She's the strongest non-Asuka person. And that's including Ember Moon, because we haven't really got a really good sense of who Ember Moon really is.
Exactly.
Besides, like, she's got an amazing look and an amazing and a really good moveset.
We haven't got a good sense of her character.
Exactly.
Whereas Nikki Cross, I mean, exactly. I don't think we know a whole lot about what she can do in the ring, really.
Yeah.
But we know a very definite sense of what her character is.
And it's, I love it. It's so different from anything else we've seen. It's amazing. And she's got that great. Is she Scottish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm assuming since she has a Scottish flag on her.
That makes total sense
gear.
Then. Yeah, and her extremely thick Scottish brogue, which is great. But sometimes I get my accents confused. So she's great. She gave she gave like a little promo, or was that later in the show?
That was right afterwards when Sandy was walking through the hallway.
Okay. Yeah. And so yeah, they said, "What's your deal?" And she says, "I want that title." And then Eric Young said, "We're here to make an impact."
Yeah.
"We told you guys we're here to make an impact."
Well, did he actually say impact? That's funny if he did.
I thought he did. I could be, maybe he said statement. I thought he said impact, though.
That'd be funny if he said impact.
And he's got, like, literally the hardest, angriest nipples you've ever seen. They're so thick. Oh, Lucifer.
We'll get to that later.
Okay. Yeah, that was the Sanity interview. And then we had...
The Drifter.
Oh, man.
Elias
Sampson. The Drifter, Elias Sampson. Why do people boo this guy, Larson? He's great. He's fantastic.
Because he's a heel.
Jonathan Cruz. Smaller than you or extremely smaller than you? I think he's tiny.
What a...
He has a huge head and a really tiny body.
Yeah, Corey Graves pointed that out.
Oh, did he?
Something about Jonathan Cruz's disproportionately large head, he said.
That's fucked up because he always sides with whoever is taking on the Drifter.
No, I think he kind of said it in like I don't remember the context, but it was something along the lines of because the Drifter was working him over.
Yeah,
and then I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't like he was just strictly talking trash.
If that's not trash talking, I don't know what it is. That's fantastic though. That's great. So, yeah, Elias Sampson, this is essentially a squash match.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sampson beat the shit out of
so
Jonathan Cruz.
Sampson is listed as 6'1", 220, I think they said 240 last night, but he's 6'1",
okay.
So he's about your height.
Yeah. That's strange to me.
So I guess Jonathan Cruz was probably smaller than me.
You know, you often think whenever you see somebody, sometimes they're the way they carry themselves, their charisma, their intelligence makes them appear taller than they
mm-hmm.
actually are.
Mm-hmm. Elias Sampson is one of those people.
Like, you remember Busta Chops?
Yeah.
All right, Busta Chops is a good 2-3 inches taller than me. I always thought, in my head, when I thought about it, I always thought that he was shorter than me.
Mm-hmm.
That's legit. I always thought that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'd get near him, I'd be like, oh my God, that's right. He's actually taller than me. But then when I would go away from him, I'd think, oh yeah, Busta Chops, he's shorter than me. Anyways. Elias Sampson, in my head, I'm thinking he's 6'5".
Yeah, I know.
You know? He looks like a big, big dude.
Yeah, he's a massive, hulking man.
But he comes in here, and it's like, oh, hey, Steve. No, wait, that's Elias Sampson.
Yeah, and he's like half an inch taller than you.
Exactly. So anyways, he destroyed Jonathan Cruz, who really needs some of that bulk.
Yeah.
He needs to get, if he's going to go any, I kind of want to know. I love the Jonathan Cruises of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know more about these
weird
people.
Yeah, me too. I want to know their backstories.
Like, why this guy and not somebody who, like, is different or bigger, doesn't have an oddly sized head? Why are there so many weird bodies in wrestling in the indie circuit?
It's because there's a lot of...
odd people.
Well, just in life.
Mm. That's true. Then we had Cian Almas versus Oney Lorcan, one of our personal favorites, Oney Lorcan.
Well,
and we love Cian
Almas. Almas is great as a heel, especially. His
Almas
interview after this match was fantastic.
Oh, I loved it. I loved his interview. It was great. Anyways, he beat Oney Lorcan.
In a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I was disappointed we didn't get any of his thunder chops.
I know.
I wonder if that was just a fluke of nature, of like physics, that one chop. Sometimes, like if you land something and it's like a 1 in a billion chance that it's going to
collide
in that manner with those atoms and that air pressure, maybe there's something interesting going on in the
physics. I don't know if it's 1 in a million, but at least 1 in 1,000.
Yeah, where it just like perfectly landed and it fused.
Yeah.
And then it made
the hand
boom.
Hit flush on the chest.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, pushing the air out from between the two pieces of human
at a record breaking pace.
Yeah, the sound of
sound
the
of speed
of
sound. Yeah, Not the sound of speed.
Sound of speed.
Yeah.
That's what we heard was the sound of speed, though, because that was his hand was moving at a rapid rate towards chest.
Like we heard it before it happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see here. And then, yeah, he gave a great interview where he started.
Did you notice the interview bot was trying to keep him facing one way? The whole time, he wanted to move and be active,
she kept her hand
on his hip the whole time, trying to keep him so he's pointed towards the main camera.
She has her directive. She has her programming.
She seems way more comfortable on NXT than she does on SmackDown.
Is it the same person? It's the same person.
I think so, yeah.
I think it is, too. She does seem more comfortable, probably because they're not live.
Yeah.
That could be. But anyways, yeah, it makes me wonder, you know what's funny is that, are they, like, trying to cultivate their own like, why not just hire someone? Is it just cheaper?
I thought from NXT, the whole point of NXT was not just to cultivate wrestling talent, but talent across the board, even production talent. That was one of the things.
Production talent is right.
I think Triple H said about it.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons they have it at Full Sail, because it's visual arts.
I wonder what the qualifications are. Like, I would figure they just bring other people in who have experience. I mean, I'm sure maybe she does have some limited experience.
I don't know.
But sometimes she really. Intercontinental.
Yeah, that one interview was not good.
Not good. But anyways, yeah, San Almas was great. He was just rambling in Spanish, just spitting fire. And then, like, the people started giving him some shit. And so he started, like, you know, reluctantly, giving them some angry English.
Yeah, but he was talking trash the whole time.
I know. It was amazing.
It was great. He's a great Rudo.
He said that Oney Lorcan was Primero, Roderick Strong, Segundo.
Yeah.
So that means second.
Yep.
And then he said, tranquilo, Tom Phillips. That's what Corey Graves said, tranquilo. Means calm. Tranquil.
Tranquil, calm.
If you will. Then we had a Shinsuke Nakamura interview with Tom Phillips.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of these for him. That's too much of a normal setting for Shinsuke Nakamura.
I agree, but he manages still to imbue these relatively mundane segments with his kind of personality and character and charisma.
He's got so much charisma.
I did like the touch of the ticket. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. I'd like to see where this is going. Did Bobby Roode have his eyes on Shinsuke from the very moment that Shinsuke debuted?
I like that. I like that idea. I want to know, when did they cut to Roode? Like, I'm going to go back and watch that and see if they cut to Roode during Shinsuke's debut, or are they just bringing this up now?
Yeah,
I don't know, but no, I like it. It's very old school. There's got like little pieces of story that don't have to be these long overarching storylines that, you know, hit and miss. It's just they get right to the point with it. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yep.
Then we had in our main event #DIY versus the Revival. The Revival trying to take their championships back.
Yeah.
Tag championships back.
Become the first three-time NXT Tag Team Champions.
This was sort of like a diet version of
their previous two matches.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
It didn't seem quite as sharp as the other ones.
No, it didn't. I think these guys are both kind of over this. They just want to move on. DIY wants to move on to Authors of Pain. And the Revival really need to be moving on to Maine.
To SmackDown, yeah.
Which I can't. That has to be soon.
I would think so. I was reading somewhere that on these same TV tapings, they had a match against TM61, and that was supposed to be a program. I don't know why. Like, they should be on SmackDown the episode after the Rumble.
I know. How long do the TV tapings?
Everything up until the TakeOver.
Okay. All right. So it's still possible. Let's see here. And then after, so the ending, again, also kind of mirrored.
Oh, yeah.
Which I liked. I thought it was cool. I'm done with it, though. I thought it was cool. I want them to stop now.
Rather than Dawson and Wilder being in submission holes and trying to keep each other from tapping by holding each other's hands, they were helping each other up.
Yeah.
And they were more or less mid-embrace.
Yeah, they were hugging.
When they ate DIY's finishing move.
Yeah, it was like the two super kicks, and they got the double pins.
Super kick and a knee.
Yeah, and the double pin. And it was good symmetry. It was some good reflection. It was a good summation. This is like the thesis statement.
And it would have been a good send-off, I think, for the Revival if that were their last match in NXT.
I agree. But I guess they have to put over TM61 now?
I guess so.
I don't know.
Is there another heel tag team that could feud with TM61? Other than the Authors of Pain?
Sanity.
No, yeah.
That'd be weird, though.
Yeah, they're not really doing anything with Sanity right now, either.
They're not doing shit with Sanity. Damo was all lurking. That was the thing also during the Sanity interview.
Is Damo's new name?
I don't know. I didn't even know that until you told me.
No, he's got a new name. Let me look real fast.
I just saw Tommy End's new name. Tommy End is such a great name. Why are they making him change it?
It is Killian Dane.
What a terrible name. What? Where the fuck are they getting these things from? Where are they getting that from?
I don't know.
Damo's a great name.
I know.
Tommy End is a great name.
Sometimes I wonder, though, too.
Hey, Killian.
This is purely speculation on my part that maybe some of these guys don't want to license their indie names, too. I don't know why. Maybe they just want to protect that in case the WWE thing doesn't pan out. Because then, you know, you got people. Great, I don't know how long. Like, say, you sign a deal to go to NXT as an indie talent. You sign a deal to license your name, your likeness, so and so on. Like, if they terminate your contract, I assume that licensing deal would be terminated as well, but I don't know with certainty.
I don't know, man. I would like to think what you're saying is true. I can almost guarantee it's
not. No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
There goes lid in my water.
Bye, lid. I don't know. It's a bummer to me, because even if they came up with better names, Aleister Black is it's not a good name. You know,
Tommy End fits. Tommy End fit.
Like, there's so many things you could do with that. There are so many. You can name pay-per-views after him.
Mm-hmm.
So many things you can do with that.
Yeah, it seems like a really marketable name.
I know. Tommy End is great. I don't know. I mean, they're going to rename Adam Cole when he comes in because of fucking stupid Michael Cole.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so, because he's a Ring of Honor champion. So, like, Roderick Strong was.
You think they're going to be? You think Vince is going to be okay with two Coles?
Yes. Don't worry about that.
Okay, all right. We shall see. I think the Adam's going to stay.
That really changed his name to Adam Cole Bebe.
Adam Cole Bebe! Adam Cole Bebe!
I'm curious. I guess, you know, if I use the same logic, then Kyle O'Reilly, if and when he signs with WWE, will still be Kyle O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. But I think there'd be a better chance of them changing his name as opposed to Adam Cole, because he's not quite the known commodity Cole is.
I'm sort of split on the Adam Cole thing, because everything you say is absolutely true. There is no way they should change his name, but there is a Michael Cole.
I understand that.
and you know how weird they get.
If they were both wrestlers, I might understand, but they're not.
I hope you're right. And I hope that they all understand that we're adults and we can tell the difference between Adam Cole and Michael Cole.
Yes.
I would love for that to be the case.
Are there two wrestlers right now that have the same last name?
In New Japan, there are.
No, I mean in WWE.
They're going to have the same last initials, or same initials, Kevin Owens and Cassius Ohno.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and both use KO in their branding, so that's going to be interesting.
I know. It makes me wonder why they just go with Chris Hero.
Yeah, I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if this case where Chris Hero was the one
in
to protect,
Chris Hero's
protect
case,
his IP.
I might think that's the case, but I don't know. In his case, I think... In his case, it really wouldn't surprise me if they gave him the option, because he has so much. He has to have so much stroke going into negotiations.
Yeah.
I would think that for him, it's probably just more fun to go back to going to Cassius Ohno
and kind of reviving a story that
happened three years ago. Maybe he'll make it a thing. Maybe he'll make it a thing and make the changing of names more kayfabe than it already is, because people already know. They already make it kind of a thing. Oh, they're changing their name, and they're using this inspiration and that inspiration.
Yeah, yeah, with like they with Curtis Axel, yeah.
Yeah, Finn Balor, Daniel Tommy, same thing. So anyways, let's talk 205 recap. 205 Live recap.
It was a fun show.
Let's do that now. It was a fun show.
I like they spent pretty much half the show on the Noam Dar, Cedric Alexander, Alicia Fox storyline.
I know. I loved it. This is a money storyline.
The show kicked off with a 3-minute recap. I made sure to notice how long it was, because it seemed like it went on forever. Whole storyline up to date.
Yeah, it was all the best of. There was a lot of facts there.
Which led to a match between Cedric Alexander and Noam Dar. They gave him about, I don't know, 15 minutes.
Gave him a while, and it was a good minute. That drop kick out the ring, straight, like that camera placement was perfect. Because Cedric Alexander, with a head full of steam, like Noam Dar was dealing with Alicia Fox on the outside of the ring, and then from nowhere, just feet into face.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, it was great.
But then, okay, so what possible motivation?
Well, let's explain what happens. Noam Dar is down on the mat. Cedric Alexander climbs for a moonsault.
Right.
In the midst of his moonsault, while he's still in the air, Alicia Fox pulls Noam Dar's legs and pulls him into safety.
Yes.
Helping Noam Dar win the match.
Why would she have possibly done that? Because then she looks like, oh, I made a mistake.
No, I didn't think it was a mistake so much as is conflicted.
Oh, you think that her read was she's actually into Noam Dar? I don't know. I felt like she thought she was doing good and she did bad. That's what I'd like clarification on. She was like, yeah. Oh, crap, I fucked that. I read her face as I was fucked up. But it could be the way you're saying it.
Or could, it seemed my read on it was like she just made it an impulsive decision to do that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a mistake.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I could read it that way, too. I could read it either way.
And then after that, she made that impulsive decision. It was like she was trying to process it.
Yeah.
Like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
And hence the conflict.
You're giving her much more depth than I gave her. I just thought it was, I'm trying to help.
I don't know
what.
Yeah, but I don't know if her idea was to help Cedric pulling Dar out of the way, that would be of assistance in any way.
That was my question. I wish they would have addressed that in the next.
I'm sure we will in subsequent episodes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, okay, number one, we're broken up, but number two, why did you do that? Like, understand number one first. There's no way you're not going to talk your way out of it. It's done. We're done. But
well, hold on. Let's get to that segment later. Let's get to the show because that segment was
Alicia Fair.
It was interesting.
All right. Then we had a package for Akira Tozawa, who will be debuting shortly next week. Is that right?
I don't think they said a date.
He's the Emelina of 205 Live now. They keep on running packages on him.
He's fantastic.
He's amazing. He's great. I can't look. I can't wait forward. I can't wait to see him.
Are you okay?
No, evidently not. Shouldn't have done all that mescaline before the show. I'm joking. I don't do illegal drugs. Let's see here. Then we had a Brian Kendrick promo. I love Brian Kendrick. I went back and looked at some of his promos from back in like 2009, 2000, whenever.
His previous run.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he's a little baby-faced Brian Kendrick. And they're basically the same, just with like a less gravelly old man voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was really good. He was ahead of his fucking time, man. He was ahead of his time with his promos. Then we had Brian Kendrick versus Sean Maluda.
During Kendrick's promo,
he said something like, if you lasted 90 seconds against Tajiri, you can't last 30 against me. I think that's what he said. Poor Sean Maluda. He's like, he's the most distinct jobber in the cruiserweight division because he's always like, he's a very distinct like character, you know? Like, he's got such a unique look and his name, but he's just, you know, he comes out, you know he's going to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they put on a good match.
Yeah, they put on a good match.
Sean Maluda lasted a lot longer than 30 seconds.
Yes, he did.
Or 90 seconds.
Yes.
And when Kendrick finally picked up the win, I love this. He gets out off the mat, and he kind of half dazed, looks at the crowd, starts doing this.
I love Brian Kendrick. He's so good, man. He's so good.
Yeah, he is.
Then we had the backstage segment where Cedric Alexander, at my advice.
Well, I think we both suggested that he do this.
Finally. I know, but I was the one who wanted to say, young fella, come over here. Let Steve give you some advice. You're a good-looking stud. You're a good-looking dude. You're obviously very articulate, smart guy, good career path.
Yeah.
You're goal-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You can fuck anything
mm-hmm.
you want.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You've had Alicia Fox. You know she's crazy. She's hurting your case. Get rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
Find somebody else. Or maybe just play the scene a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm glad that he took my advice after I talked to him, and he said, and I thought, you know what? I think he's not incredibly strong when he's doing like interview promos, but I really liked his
performance. Oh, he was great.
Locker room. It was very natural. It was good. He was like, he said, Alicia Fox, we're done. And then he walks away, and Alicia Fox goes on a fucking crazy rampage.
Yeah, she starts getting like really bassy in her voice.
Very guttural.
Guttural, yes. Yeah. And then she's flailing her arms around and having a fit. And at one point, she kind of flops forward.
Yeah.
And as she's flopping forward, you can see she cracks a smile because she realizes that the whole thing's ridiculous. And it was pretty funny.
I will guarantee you a million times over, this is 100% accurate. My reporting right here with no sources whatsoever. That was all Vince. That was Vince telling her how to react. That was Vince. I will guarantee you that was Vince. That is such a Vince thing.
I want you to get real guttural and scream, you don't break up with me.
Exactly.
My Vince has just turned to Frank Costanza, essentially.
Got a lot of problems with you cruiserweights.
We'll get to that in Dirt Sheet.
Yeah. Then we had the parlay with Jack Gallagher and Daivari. I love not just Jack Gallagher, but I love Daivari.
Yeah.
He's such a sport. to be, because this whole thing, like the whole thing is they both want this to end. But the fact that Daivari has gone along with it this long, just in their universe, in the storyline.
And he's gone along with it, but every step he seems so annoyed by everything.
He does.
Just so annoyed.
Everything Jack Gallagher, he's just annoyed with. I'm like, I don't even know who the heel and the face is in this point.
I know.
Because I'm annoyed with Jack Gallagher, too.
I know.
But in a way that would work for a storyline.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm starting to find myself being sympathetic to Daivari.
Yes.
Because, like, what are you doing with all this weird shit? You're dueled and you beat me up with
an
umbrella.
Yeah, if you have a match, I mean, that was the end game of this segment, is that there's a contract signing, essentially, for an I forfeit match. Why do we have to go through all this stuff beforehand?
I know.
Just get to the I forfeit match, Jack Gallagher. It doesn't seem very gentlemanly to run someone through the ringer.
What is an I forfeit? I know. He like runs them down first. And he says, what is an I forfeit? It's just conundrum. He's just perplexed after perplexed situation that he's in. He's like, what is an I? Why can't you just do an I quit match?
I know.
That's what that's what everybody does. Just go along
with it. Well,
that's
what Gallagher said. He said, it's like an I quit match.
Then just call it a goddamn I quit match.
Is the word forfeit more gentlemanly?
I guess. And then Gallagher says, you know, I'm a gentleman, and so I hope the queen isn't watching this. And he flips the table and goes feral on freaking Daivari, who then, there's a lot of back and forth there. Who ended up standing tall there? Gallagher's going to win that, I think.
Oh, yeah,
match,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
I hope they have. I hope Daivari has sort of proven his place, you know, and he belongs to. I'm going to be rooting for Daivari. I think Gallagher's going to win, but I'm going to be rooting for Daivari.
I'm surprised you're saying that, considering you're a Gallagher fan.
I know, but I see during this whole feud has been a journey. And it's like I just find myself siding with Daivari in this case. You know, he makes very good points. It's like he's not like in a normal feud with somebody where they're trying to prove who the best competitor is. He's got this weird little pale British guy who's talking about being a gentleman and using weird words and then weird match stipulations and duels.
Yeah.
It's so stressful.
Yeah.
That I want Daivari to come out on top.
Okay.
But I love Jack Gallagher. He's like the heel that people need. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying either.
Then we had Rich Swann versus Tony Nese. I'm kind of done with the Rich Swann era. Kind of done with him being the champion. Who's he fighting? Oh, Neville. Neville's got to win that shit.
Oh, yeah, at the Rumble.
Yeah, he's got to win that. That's been confirmed. Neville versus Tony. Sorry, Rich Swann.
Yeah, well, Neville challenged Rich Swann. I think it's been confirmed since. Yeah.
I have something in my pant, my sock. Stabbing my fucking chin. Now keep talking.
Okay, sorry.
I can keep going.
You're so intent there. Focused. The match itself, Rich Swann, Tony Nese, was okay. Is there a nail in there or something?
This is a fingernail.
Oh.
Ugh. That's going to be my best friend right there.
Oh, that's gross. Is it a fingernail or a toenail?
It looks like one of Alabama's.
Oh, my God. It's right here now.
It teleported. How the fuck
no,
did that happen?
You must have
How
like,
that happen? It teleported.
It spring.
Oh, no, it's stuck.
Oh, gosh. I can't touch that part of the table for the rest of the day.
Oh, it's Alabama's. She's clean. This is not a human. This is a child's.
What was I going to say? Oh, the match between Swann and Nese was fine.
Yeah, it was okay. It was whatever.
And Rich Swann had a promo afterwards after he won the match. And there are parts of it that were okay, but then parts of it that seemed really kind of forced, like the gargoyle thing. It's unnecessary. Rich Swann's supposed to be the face, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So he calls Neville a gargoyle and then makes fun of his ears.
What is with faces being bullies these days?
I don't know.
Because it's like a total bully thing.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's uncomfortable. Like Neville was like, and Neville, see, again, I find myself siding with Neville on this. I appreciate all of his points. If he's been persecuted here during his time in the United States, he's been, what do you call it? If he's been bullied, if he's been pointed at and laughed by Americans, by all means, Neville, be mad, be mean.
Yeah.
Rich Swann, not feeling anymore. Here's my thing about Rich Swann. What's Rich Swann's gimmick?
He's you put it really well before we started, and I forgot.
fun-loving guy.
Yes, fun-loving. Yeah, that's the term I was looking for.
He's a fun-loving guy who, and we learned this through his story vignettes, he's a fun-loving guy who you can appreciate even more because he came up from hard times.
Mm-hmm.
Right? His promo skills are weird, and that I actually do squarely place on creative because I think they have him say shit that just is stupid.
Yeah, because during the Cruiserweight Classic, all the sit-down interview segments with him were great. He was very natural.
Calling somebody a gargoyle, and then what did you like? A sourpuss?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Even you can tell, even he doesn't like that. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't like that.
You can tell he's self-conscious about saying stuff like that.
Yeah, and exactly. It's just dumb.
Because last night when we said gargoyle, he had an awkward smile come across his face before he said, like, oh,
it's
I gotta
so
say gargoyle. I gotta call this guy a gargoyle.
It's so bad.
Same thing happened during the sourpuss thing.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of had this awkward smile on his face, like, oh, I gotta say this.
I know. It's so weird. So anyways, I don't know. I'm kind of done. And I'm not saying it's through any fault of his own, but at the same time also, the fun-loving dancing gimmick, it kind of only goes so far for me in terms of like being able to tell stories with it. And it's like, if you don't have like a compelling character besides a guy who admittedly has decent dance moves, he had a really cool white jacket last night too.
Yeah.
That was a really nice jacket. Nothing I could really pull off, but it was cool.
I mean, he's good in the ring. He's got tons of charisma.
He's good in the ring. I just feel like they haven't really let him move past dancing fun guy. I mean, at least he has dancing. He's got that.
He's got a really good theme song.
He's got a good theme song. But then again, when you hear his theme song, you never really think, oh, awesome, Rich Swann is coming out now. You know, like if there's like some sort of confrontation going on in the ring and then you're like, you know, like certain theme music can get you really jazzed.
Yeah, you're not going to pop when you hear his theme for him to run out and get
involved. Especially the very beginning of it when it's kind of the intro part.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. Yeah. No, Rich Swann, your days are numbered. Neville, Mean Neville's going to take your belt. And then I don't know what you're going to do. I wish you all the success in the world, though.
Yeah.
He'll still have a job.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about TJ Perkins.
TJ Perkins will have a job for a while.
He should not have a job.
He'll have a job.
He should have a job in the front office, creative at 205 Live. Maybe he's got a lot of good ideas. I don't want him on camera. No.
He wasn't on camera last night. You must have enjoyed the show.
I know I did. I loved it. It was great. Did you notice that?
Yeah, well, I didn't notice you
That's
going to
be
show.
Our thumbnail.
205 Live, better without TJP?
Yeah. And then it's going to be like, I don't know. What would you do for a thumbnail for that on YouTube? A little image. What would you do for that?
I guess you'd have a picture of TJ Perkins with the no sign.
Yeah. Like the red cross out?
Yeah, the circle with the diagonal line through
what
it.
What if you like just put like the vacant guy on 2K17?
Mm-hmm.
It's the vacant guy.
Yeah.
But then like with his stupid glasses and his dumb haircut.
Okay.
It's that. I don't know what you do. Anyways, let's answer some questions.
Yeah, let's answer some questions.
Nicholas Groskirth. The Authors of Pain did not do their stacking powerbomb spot this week. Thank God for that, Nicholas. Do you think we've seen the last of it?
I don't remember them doing that regularly to begin with.
They did it a couple times.
Yeah, I know they've done it before, but it's not like something they do every time they came out. And that's okay, because I like when they powerbomb people together and then powerbomb to the ground. I like that better anyways.
Okay, are there powerbombs? The Authors of Pain, when they do the powerbombs, those look nasty.
Yeah.
Is that just the opponent selling it really good, or is that the Authors of Pain literally just slamming the shit out of them?
It might be a little bit of both.
Man.
I made a point of checking, especially with since Ciampa was in the foreground of the screen, to see if, because I know the Authors of Pain are pretty devastating with their power bombs, whether his head hit the mat.
Yeah.
But at least with Ciampa, he kept his chin tucked the whole time.
Yeah, man.
And also, I noticed too, especially because I did two power bombs on him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That the second one especially, they were like Ciampa was still holding the Authors of Pain guy's hand when he landed, so he can kind of do like a little, tuck.
So maybe they say, yeah, these are going to be vicious, so make sure you protect yourself.
Because,
Man, those things look like they fucking hurt.
Yeah, they're pretty
I don't
scary.
Know, how do you feel about that? I'm not 100% on board with that. Because I don't want somebody to fuck themselves up just because
I
want some guys to look strong.
I mean, so long as everybody involved is okay with it and they take the necessary precautions, then...
Yeah, but who's going to say, I'm not going to take that guy's powerbomb?
I'm sure someone like Ciampa, who's been around for a while.
You think so? Really? Yeah, maybe, huh? He probably doesn't give a shit. He's Psycho Killer.
That's true.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Mr. Ratings, Adam Mayhem.
Yeah.
If you could pair up any two NXT superstars to push them as a tag team, who would it be, and what would be the push story? All right, Patrick Clark's one of them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We need more Patrick Clark on TV.
I know. Where has he been? What the heck? Make NXT 3 hours. Let's see here. Two NXT superstars to push them as a tag team.
Who would we pair with Patrick Clark?
Well, the guy who lost his tag team partner, Rich Swann, No Way Jose. Because they both like to have fun. But that's too obvious. I don't like
what about
that.
Patrick Clark and Oney Lorcan? The whole opposites attract thing.
Those are like the most opposite people I could think of. No, I like Oney Lorcan as a singles guy.
Okay.
Patrick Clark can team up with... Hold on. Patrick Clark can team up with... NXT doesn't have a lot of people.
Dan Matha.
There you go. Perfect. Dan Matha. Give him something to do. Dan Matha. Did you say he's in polishing class?
No.
He's in the second to last one, right? How is he in that class already?
I don't know.
It's so weird. Jacob Castle. The Thunder from Down Under, Jacob Castle here. Jacob Castle here. WWE's rebooting Evolution with Triple H in the Ric Flair role of older mentor. Father of NXT. You could book it as Triple H calling NXT the real Evolution of pro wrestling. Who would you like to see fill out last three members of this proposed new Evolution?
I agree with him, but when I first read this question, before we got to the end of it, he said Bobby Roode filling Triple H's role in the previous iteration of Evolution. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, that's exactly what I didn't even see that. That's what I was going to say, because Bobby Roode's gimmick right now is Triple H.
Yeah.
That's it. Bobby Roode's gimmick right now is Triple H as he is now, but in wrestling in his prime form.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He wants to bring CEOs to NXT.
Money.
He wants to take NXT to the next level. That's literally Triple H's job description right now.
Yeah.
That's what he does. And he looks like him. So Bobby Roode. Okay, so
Bobby Roode.
Evolution was you have the future, past, and present.
Yeah. So it was Orton, Batista, future.
Future, yeah.
Triple H, the present. And then Flair, the past.
All right.
So we have Triple H, the past.
Yeah.
Roode, the present. Who's going to be the future? For some reason, I think Cien Almas.
Oh, that's a good one. Great fit. That's a really good one. That's a really good one, man. That's really good.
And Tommy End.
I don't know enough about, like, we don't know anything about
him. I've seen a couple of his matches.
No, I know. We don't know anything about him as far as his character in NXT. I would say Roderick Strong.
Eh.
No,
he doesn't have a ton of personality as he's presented now.
I know, but neither did Batista. I think it could do wonders for him.
Maybe
because he's got a really chiseled look. Like like $1 million.
Yeah,
and it would give him something to he carries himself like
A professional,
like a professional, like a champion.
If they're gonna do the Evolution thing where everybody wears suits when they're not wrestling, either Tommy End would look like really awesome in a suit, or it'd just seem odd.
Yeah,
there would be no middle ground.
Yeah, I don't know.
But if you're, Roderick Strong, he's been around for a long time. He's got tons of experience. Already.
Oh yeah,
he's been
yeah.
A former world champion, Ring of Honor. I think if you really want to look to the future, Tommy End.
Okay, all right.
Good way to bring him in too.
All right,
I don't know how they're going to introduce him.
Aleister Black, Deep Fried Ballsack. Does Alicia Fox deserve an Emmy for her performance on 205 Live? Obviously, yes.
At least a slammy. Drunk Bray Wyatt. Andrade Almas and Elias Sampson are really good workers and have great looks. What is it about them that isn't connecting with the fans?
Oh, man. How is Elias Sampson, though? Well, Elias Sampson, his whole gimmick, arguably you could state, is made to piss off the fans.
He's getting... His whole gimmick is to kind of essentially get X-Pac heat.
It is. Like, when you bring out an ill-tuned guitar and a horrible singing voice, and you sing these horrible lyrics every week, and he's got almost... Number one, he understands completely what he's doing.
Yes.
And sometimes I detect a hint of wanting to smile.
I know.
In just reveling in what he's doing. Because he does it very well.
Yeah.
And I think with time... If he stays in NXT for a while, which I have no idea what ceiling, what hopes they have for Elias Sampson. What is he, like 50 years old?
I don't know.
How old is Elias Sampson?
While you looked it up, I want to mention something. That last night during the Oney Lorcan
He's 29.
Oh, okay. He's relatively
he's
young 10 still.
10 years younger than us.
That's crazy. During the Almas-Oney Lorcan match, the crowd was firmly behind Oney Lorcan, but during the beginning, or when the start the match started, there was a little bit back and forth between Oney Lorcan and Almas chants.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think...
Oh, I don't think... No, look, dude. There's a world of difference.
Yes.
There is a... Almas is just simply being a pure heel.
Yeah.
Elias Sampson is fucking with people.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Sampson's got some sort of meta heel thing going there.
He does. Sampson is strictly fucking with people. Andrade Almas is getting them to hate his character in the way that you hate a great villain.
Yes.
Elias Sampson is there to troll the shit out of everybody. And it's amazing. I can respect both things.
Yes.
But I think in terms of the fan, like Andre Almas is doing what he needs to be doing with the fans.
Yes.
That he is connecting with them.
Yes.
The Lunatic Fridge. Where do you think Sanity's ceiling is? He says he struggles with it because Eric Young, Nikki Cross, and even Sawyer, when the poor soul comes back, are potential singles competitors. I see them as sort of the a flip side of the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, you know, they arguably you have a women's champion, you got a singles champion.
And you have tag team champions.
And you got a tag team champion.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the goal, I think.
Yeah.
Damo's
their brawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Eddie Jose Guevara.
Eddie Jose Guevara Minivar.
Good job. How do you see the cruiserweight division now since its inception, and where do you guys see it going this year?
Well, there's some word that Vince is not happy with.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in full on Dirt Sheet tomorrow.
With how the 205, the cruiserweight division's going. I think the main problem with it, number one, it's not terrible.
No, 205 Live has consistently been a very entertaining one-hour show.
But I do kind of think that, like, there's a lot that...
there's a lot to talk about in terms of if what you're going to bring up is why the show and specifically the cruiserweight division isn't exactly getting over like we think it should.
There's a lot to talk about. I think here's if you're to, I don't hate it, but if somebody said, Steve, here are the keys to the kingdom, what would you change? I would have a laundry list, and it's not the competitors involved. It's not the talent involved.
Yeah.
The aesthetics, number one, I'm a big aesthetics guy,
mm-hmm.
as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the aesthetics for me just aren't working. I hate the little video game mascot guy they've got. I'm not huge on the name 205 Live. I don't think the show needs to be live.
Yeah.
I think taping it after SmackDown is a horrible idea because that crowd is dead.
Yeah.
They do not give a shit. I even think that going so heavy in on story from the outset, although it's given us Noam Dar, it's given us Jack Gallagher.
It's given us Neville, too.
And it's given us Neville. I appreciate that stuff, but I think the strength of the Cruiserweight Classic was simply these are the best guys in the world, competing to see who the best guy in the world is.
Well, I think that's the missing ingredient as well is... They're not let the Vince and Kevin Dunn are not letting these guys wrestle how they did in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they did,
mm-hmm.
I think the Cruiserweight division would be a lot more popular than it is right now.
If it was,
because right now all you're getting is typical, for the most part, typical WWE style matches with smaller competitors.
Yeah, I know.
And I think everybody expects from the Cruiserweight division just more interesting matches, more interesting moves.
Go back and watch Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio at 97 at Halloween Havoc mm-hmm, 97, mm-hmm. and you'll see what we're talking about. That match is indicative of what the Cruiserweight division in WCW, why the Cruiserweight division there was so unique and why people tuned in for it.
Yeah.
It's because they let them do off-the-wall shit, and they're not letting them do that in the Cruiserweight division. And so I think... So the idea behind the Cruiserweight Classic was the best people in the world came in. The best cruiserweights from the world came in. And we know there's plenty of people left out because of contracts. But give it an international feel.
Yeah.
You know, they branded it like it's superstars. Like it's got the ugly ass purple, everything, all purple everything. It's got the Street Fighter wannabe sort of gimmick guy.
Yeah.
And then the ugly logo. Aesthetically, it's not exciting. It's, I'm not going to say even boring. It's just bland.
Yeah.
It's just not, it doesn't get anybody geeked up to be. I was reading the Meltzer's newsletter, and he said that the Cruiserweight Classic would regularly beat, when it was going on, would regularly beat NXT for viewers.
Mm-hmm.
205 Live doesn't always even make the top five on the network. And so go heavy on the appeal. You got all these international stars. Give it more of it. And if WWE wants to take on New Japan, like if they want to start, make it more like that. You don't need intricate storylines where people are talking over girlfriends and stuff like that. I've been very entertained by it, but we don't need it.
The in-ring action has to be the cornerstone of the product.
Exactly. And have like cool tournaments within the show and have like, you know, you don't need and have cool fact. Like, just take a look at New Japan. They don't have a weekly show. New Japan doesn't. And so they do sort of old school booking. You know, it's like Suzuki Gun comes in at New Year's Dash. And then that sets up, okay, it's going to be Okada versus Suzuki down the line, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can, that's how they do it on NXT.
Yeah.
Like, follow the NXT model, which follows, you know, an old school model. And let, like you said, the number one thing, the biggest thing, like we've been saying, let them do what they're going to do. Let us see a couple more, you know, Michinoku drivers. Let them do a couple more pile drivers here and there.
Or
you
even
know?
Not even just the moves, just. So often, like the Noam Dar Cedric Alexander match last night.
Yeah.
It was good because there was a story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen, if you watch the Noam Dar Zack Sabre Jr. match from the Cruiserweight Classic,
yeah.
It's not like they were doing it was a wrestling match.
Yeah.
But what made it exciting was the pace.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so often, especially the main event, the Rich Swann, Tony Nese match, the pace of that match was so slow.
Yeah, I know.
And those guys can work twice as fast.
I know.
Urgency. There's no urgency to the matches.
Every single one of them guys should have a sense of urgency in their matches. And I just don't think that they're being booked that way.
Nope.
So, I mean, honestly, it's not going to happen, but it's a top-to-bottom thing. It makes me wonder, you know, this is...
And until Vince and Kevin Dunn realize that they can't be uniform to the WWE style across every division.
Yeah.
Once they realize that they have to let the Cruiserweight division be its own thing,
mm-hmm.
not just in a superficial branding way, but literally its own thing.
Yeah.
It's going to hold that division back.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it makes me wonder if it's simply going to be a matter of, like, I would really love to know if there are frustrations there from Triple H, who I think conceived of the Cruiserweight
mm-hmm.
Classic
mm-hmm.
and brought it in and made it this thing. And then if it is true that Vince and Kevin Dunn have sort of taken the reins on 205 Live, if there's some frustration there, if there's like, man, they're not letting these guys are international stars
mm-hmm.
and they're not letting them do international star things.
I know.
You know? So, yeah, it's a loaded question, but honestly, for me, it's top to bottom. It's top to bottom.
Yeah. Charles, am I on the right one? No, sorry. The second to last real man, Jimmy Thomas. Do you see Asuka losing her title at TakeOver San Antonio since it's a fatal four-way match?
Oh, we forgot to mention that in the NXT.
Oh, at the end, after the main event, Interview Bot is back there with William Regal, and he announces several matches.
That's correct.
Authors of Pain versus DIY, which I thought was already more or less going to be the match. Well, like they said, whoever is the tag champions after this episode faces off to the pain at TakeOver anyways.
Correct.
And then as he's doing that, Asuka comes in and she's like, make the match for TakeOver. And Regal says, with who? And she says,
all of them!
All of them!
That was great. I loved it. That was so great.
So effectively, Asuka wants to take on the entire women's division.
I love that so much. I can't believe we skipped over that. That was so great. That exclamation, all of them!
I know.
That was cinematic.
I know.
That was cinematic, man. That gave me chills.
So to answer Jimmy Thomas's question, no, Asuka's not losing that belt at TakeOver. No way.
I don't think so. But with Nikki Cross and Sanity, this is fucking brilliant, man. Because we've always wondered, what's a viable way to get the title off Asuka to move up to main? And with Sanity, an entire faction, when you have men, when you have Eric Young and two fucking hosses in Nikki Cross's corner backing her play, potentially getting involved in some manner, you have a viable way to get the title off her.
It's a fair point.
It's not going to be in a fatal four-way with Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. but Nikki Cross and Sanity. And then,
yeah, at some point, but yeah, I agree. Not this match.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it'd be this match. I mean, there could it could set up Nikki Cross versus Asuka before Mania, and then mm-hmm. maybe Asuka makes a post-Mania debut.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope so. Asuka needs to be in Maine. They need
yes.
they need that soon. Where yes. does she go? Raw?
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
Raw be stat. Everybody protected.
Charles DJ CS Smith. Larson, what? Oh, that's me.
That's you.
A couple weeks ago, you mentioned that Samoa Joe might be in the Rumble and that he's a contender to win it. How would you guys book it if he won and had no affiliation to Raw or SmackDown? Would he go to both shows for a month before deciding which champion he wants, or just have Stephanie and Shane bicker back and forth over him?
Yeah, basically what I would want to see is just all decided through backstage segments. I would want to see nothing but Stephanie and Mick backstage, and then Daniel Bryan and Shane backstage, and they just talk a lot, and we're just backstage a lot.
But that's like Joe is out in the ring wrecking everybody, but it's on a TV screen behind everybody while they're talking about how to deal with the situation. We wouldn't actually see it.
You just turned my idea into a purposefully terrible one into a great one, because that would be great. This is the back. And then every
it's like Raw is now this 3 hours of Stephanie and Mick bickering the whole time. The whole 3 hours, Samoa Joe is decimating the locker room
exactly,
in the ring.
And the very end of 3 hours, they look back. Oh, God. It's just blood everywhere in Samoa Joe.
Joe's just standing there.
Yeah.
Saying, Regal.
Regal. Give me Nakamura. Samoa Joe. You know,
but I actually think it'd be interesting if Joe wins the Rumble. And shows up in both shows.
Yeah.
Giving zero Fs.
Yeah.
And just beating everybody up. I think that'd be great.
That'd be
Until
fantastic.
He decides, okay, how about this? Joe against the Universal Champion and the World Champion at WrestleMania.
Oh, great. Oh, it'd be so
Joe
fantastic.
Joe wins both belts.
Joe wins all belts. Joe in the IC ladder match as well.
Yeah.
All of them.
How are they going to have an Intercontinental title ladder match when there's not six viable contenders on SmackDown for that title? They're not going to.
It's got to. The ladder match has to be the Cruiserweight match. It has to be the Cruiserweight division. The Mediocre 7, CB Skinner. Should NXT have a mid-card belt? I'd love to see a heated title feud between Almas and Oney Lorcan.
Were there rumors that they were going to debut something? I thought
really?
I read that. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't remember that at all.
I thought I read that somewhere.
Wow. Do you think they should have one? I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't. I think they've been fine without it. They don't need it.
But I think if they keep bringing in... Say Adam Cole comes in and Kyle O'Reilly.
And Adam Cole, baby!
They keep bringing in these independent stars.
Yeah, it depends on how loaded they bring things.
Yeah, no, the main event scene is going to get really, really, really congested.
Yeah.
So I think it'd benefit them to...
Put that on the table if that ends up happening. You're right. I mean, there's a lot of talent coming in. It's got to do... make NXT 3 hours. Vincent, the smartest wrestling fan in the room, Palmieri. Next major indie signee to NXT. Now, you say there's going to be none in 2017.
Well, it depends on how you define major.
Okay, now you're okay.
It sounds like Kyle O'Reilly's going to come to WWE.
Yes, it does.
It sounds like that's going to happen.
Sounds like Adam Cole's coming to WWE.
Potentially.
I think, his contract runs out in May.
So here's the thing about my prediction. Beyond... Like, we both thought Kenny Omega was going to win the belt at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes, correct.
So he wasn't going to sign with WWE.
Correct.
The Young Bucks re-signed with Ring of Honor, as did Jay Lethal.
Yes.
They weren't going to WWE.
Correct.
I didn't do any research into Adam Cole's contract situation or Kyle O'Reilly's. I just assumed, they're both following, or at least Adam Cole was going to be following the Kenny Omega route, where it's really, 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 really build up your brand until the point where you can... More or less, name your terms to go to WWE.
Well, I mean, there's all Ricochet, same way. Like, a lot of these young guys are coming. You know, Zack Sabre Jr. didn't sign on to the 205.
Neither did Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi, exactly. So, yes, but then there are a couple stragglers who are like, ooh, well, 2017 might be my time. So, I would say the next major indie signee is going to be...
Well, it's going to be Kyle O'Reilly.
Probably going to be Kyle O'Reilly.
And then maybe Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, baby!
How excited would you be?
Oh, I'd be geeked to the fucking
if we went
rim,
to
dude.
The NXT so WrestleMania geeked. Weekend and we see.
I know.
Oh no, he'll still be under contract. Sorry.
He'll still be on. I know. I thought about that too. He'll still be under contract wherever that next takeover is. I want to go. Wait. It would be in conjunction with
SummerSlam.
We're gonna be Adam Cole, baby. We'll be there for his first takeover, and they'll call him. What's? Hold on a second. Adam Cole. What's his middle name?
Oh, I don't know. Good question. Something like Adam Michaels?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Adam Michaels Cole. Jenkins. Austin Jenkins.
That's his real name?
That's his real name. Oh, here we go. He did at one point, I guess, go under the name Adam Carell. There you go. That's what they're going to call him.
He'll be Adam Cole.
Adam Carell.
Tyler Light, or Late. Hypothetically saying Lucha Underground's apparent issues lead to it shutting down effective today, who would you like to see in WWE or even NXT, and what would their potential be?
You're a big mark for Pentagon Jr.
Ricochet, who's Prince Puma in Lucha Underground, yes. Pentagon Jr.
Johnny Mundo, baby!
Yeah, Johnny Mundo.
Let's see Johnny Mundo. Eva Lisa.
Yeah, she's good. I think Sexy Star is not wrestling anymore. I think she's concentrating on MMA or something like that.
Yeah.
Who else is really good? There's a lot of good talent. Mm-hmm. Matanza, who was champ for a while in the second season. He's Jeff Cobb in the indie scene.
Oh, yeah.
He's wrestling in a show here this weekend.
Are we going to that?
We could try, yeah.
I told Lacey about it.
Oh, okay.
So I got my permission slip signed.
Okay.
We're gonna get yours, sucka.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's done some work for PWG and stuff. I'm trying to think who else. There's just a lot of really good talent.
Meltzer mentioned him today in the Observer newsletter. I was like, ooh, I'm going to go see a guy who Meltzer talked about today. Interesting.
Phoenix is really good. Pentagon Jr.'s brother.
Okay.
Pentagon Jr.'s great.
I have to check out more of his stuff.
Yeah, he's really good.
All right, I'll do that. Is that it for the episode today?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.